Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Dr. Raj Jami of MITRE Ingenuity. As chief technologist, Raj is responsible for incubating and accelerating technologies in partnership with the private sector and for developing strategic frameworks that promote technologies for the public good. A seasoned semiconductor and electronics industry executive, Dr. Jami brings 25 years of experience to his role at MITRE Ingenuity. Welcome to the podcast, Raj.
Thank you, Dan, and good to be here.
So let's start with just a general background. So you've been in the semiconductor industry for a long time. What compelled you to get involved with MITRE Ingenuity and the Semiconductor Alliance?
That's a great question, and thank you for asking that, Dan. I have been in the industry for 25 years now, and I have seen the industry in the U.S. as well as the world grow. It's not often that you get an opportunity to reshape what we are doing in the United States. It's a generational opportunity, and when this opportunity presented itself, I was very excited to contribute to this national agenda that we are going for. And I was very glad that MITRE was involved in this one. MITRE Ingenuity has been leading this thought, and how do we shape NSTC? What should we be doing as part of this effort? And so it was a natural choice for me. And with working with the Alliance members, a number of the companies that are from the ecosystem in the US has been something that I have been doing for 25 years. So it is almost as if I was continuing what I was doing elsewhere in the industry, and that is another attractive feature for me. So that's how I ended up here, and with the Semiconductor Alliance as well as the MITRE Ingenuity team here, we have been shaping a vision for what NSTC should be and how NSTC could transform our national agenda on semiconductors.
So as a background for the rest of the questions, can you provide a brief overview of the CHIPS Act?
Certainly. The CHIPS Act is essentially aimed at transforming where we are today in the semiconductor space. I'm sure you've heard this many times, that the manufacturing capability of the nation in terms of how many chips or how much, what percentage of chips we make as a global entity has been declining. I think today we are at about 12% or so, and that has declined from the late 90s, early 2000s, from 30%+ to about 12%. And we are on a trajectory that is going to put us down to 9% or so in the coming, towards the end of this decade, essentially. Clearly, that's not attractive enough for us because it has both national economic security as well as national security issues that come with it. The other part of it is, if you do not manufacture the product, you know, you don't, very quickly you start losing the ability to understand what are the areas that you need to innovate on, and how do you innovate, and where should you focus your few dollars that are available for innovation. So with this, the Department of Commerce and essentially the government has come up with a transformative plan and an agenda by making the CHIPS Act available to us, and the NDAA was the legislation that was in place before. So I'm actually quite excited because the CHIPS Act, very correctly so, has two key components to it. One component is focused on incentivizing manufacturers in the semiconductor ecosystem to set up facilities that would bring onshore a lot of the capabilities that we do not have today. And it is in chip manufacturing, or it is in some of the equipment, the materials, as well as some of the packaging capabilities that need to be on shore and help the industry to grow within the U.S. And of course, this is not just within the U.S., but also with allied countries and allied partners, because such security and such resilience in the system cannot be just attained by ourselves. So the thought of including allies and the thought of working with partners is something that is enshrined into the discussion from the beginning, and I was quite appreciative of that. The other component of the CHIPS Act is focused on innovation. How do we spur the innovation, and how do we focus the innovation in our country, especially in the semiconductor area and ancillary areas that are necessary, to go from lab to fab? The acceleration from lab to fab and helping innovation to be prototyped so that you can test it and then you can ramp it into manufacturing has been one of the gaps. And we, in our white paper at MITRE Ingenuity that we did with the Semiconductor Alliance, we call this the Valley of Death. And this Valley of Death is something that a number of startups suffer from in the country. So these are the two components of the CHIPS Act. And I would give you rough numbers. Approximately $39 billion of the money is focused on the incentives part for manufacturing. And approximately $11 billion or so is focused on the innovation part, which we call the National Semiconductor Technology Center. I think the act is essentially looking to establish the NSTC and a packaging component associated with that for the $11
billion. So now, can you talk about the MITRE Ingenuity and Semiconductor Alliance vision for the National Semiconductor Technology Center and the National Advanced Packaging Manufacturing Program?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, one of the interesting things, if we make an observation of where we are, we, as a nation, we have a lot of R&D dollars that we spend. In fact, just within, I would say we are, United States is one of the highest spenders for R&D when it comes to even semiconductors. And even within the Semiconductor Alliance, which is a very powerful representation of all the key ecosystem players in the country, I think between them, they have about 50% of the R&D dollars that are spent globally. So we're not lacking in R&D dollars in the country. On the other hand, if you look at the innovation ecosystem and the venture capital money that we have, I think we are the highest spenders for venture capital investments in the world. And we also spend a lot of money on an annual basis for workforce development. And yet, when it comes to semiconductor industry, today we all stand at this juncture and we're asking ourselves, why is it not working as well as we want it to work? So clearly, something that we're doing needs to be tweaked so that we can go in the right direction. And that's what we have been looking at the Semiconductor Alliance and MITRE Ingenuity. Our thought process has been that step one, it has to be something that involves the entire nation. It has to be whole of a nation solution that is going to bring everyone together and catalyze them towards a common purpose. And that common purpose essentially is what breakthrough technologies can we work upon, which will enable future generations of market shaping and grand challenge solutions that are absolutely critical to spur the industry in new directions. I mean, things that we enjoy today and take for granted, like GPS or even some of the mobile communication capabilities that we enjoy, all these were breakthroughs. 5, 10, 15 years ago, they needed major breakthroughs. And similarly, there are many more yet to be discovered. So how do we vector everyone across the nation in that direction of solving these grand challenges, identifying what would be the specific breakthroughs we need for those grand challenges to come to life? And that is going to be the focus. The other part of it is, today, unlike what we used to do in the past, when I started in the industry, where you would shrink, you know, essentially geometrical shrinking, and you would focus on some power and performance metrics, and you would say, okay, well, we have a next generation technology. Today, it's no longer possible to do that. What has become the power, performance, and area metric is now sort of transformed. It is power, performance are still important. But the area has become more of a volume, and how much can you pack into a given volume? Plus, how fast are you able to do this? The time to market has become another key factor. So if you keep these factors together, and then you start looking at what am I going to do to scale the technology so that there is performance improvement at the system level, it becomes very obvious immediately that you can't anymore focus on just geometric shrinking. You can't just simply say, I'm going to have a new architecture for a device or a new process technology, and that is going to be enough. You have to look at the entire stack, all the way from the materials, the design, the process, across all the way to packaging. And you need to think about it from a systems perspective. What does the system need? And how is that going to impact the various components? Can I put this into a common package, a heterogeneously integrated package, like a chiplet platform, for example, or something similar? So this concept of looking at the entire stack or the full stack approach is the other thing that the Semiconductor Alliance is promoting, and we believe this is absolutely critical as we set up an STC. And as I mentioned before, spurring innovation is a very important factor, but you know, there is tremendous innovation in the country. I think we probably lead the world in terms of how innovative we are. And at the same time, for hard technology, especially chip-based technologies, it's become much more complicated to take it from an idea to a proof of concept to some kind of solidified demonstrator or a prototype, if you will, and then ramp it eventually to manufacturing. Because that middle portion is very risky. It requires access to fabs. It requires access to subject matter experts. It requires access to capabilities that may have to be developed. And not many startup companies can do this. So what we are attempting to do is, how can we provide that kind of capabilities and access to fabs and access to subject matter experts to startup companies and universities and national labs and others? So once we share across this ecosystem, I think some of this innovation can be spurred. And of course, money is important as they go through their life cycle. So how can we help to contribute to the funding? Funding requirements that they have while providing these kind of access is the other component that that the Semiconductor Alliance's vision includes. So as I tried to explain in a perhaps an elaborate answer here, it is the focus on breakthrough challenges, the full stack innovation, networking of all the existing capabilities in the country, which are quite strong, if I may say so. And of course, as we go along, we'll be building some more, but to start with what we have, and ensuring that there is support for startup companies and innovation to be not only funded, but provided the right technical access. These are the main principles that the Semiconductor Alliance's vision incorporates.
Yeah, that's a great vision. That's a great summary. Thank you. Suraj, I noticed that you were among the first members appointed to the Industrial Advisory Committee for Chips of America. Congratulations on that. What will your role be?
You know, first and foremost, thank you for that. And I'm actually humbled. I'm humbled to be selected for this, to serve on this advisory committee, and it is an honor for me. And of course, the as you know, the rest of the industrial advisory committee comprises of leaders and thought leaders as well as industry leaders, and they collectively, there is tremendous amount of experience between all of them. We are advising the government, and of course, at this point in time, I cannot comment or any comments I'm making as Citizen Raj, and also Mitre Ingenuity Raj, not necessarily on behalf of the government or the IAC, the Industrial Advisory Committee. The role of the committee, of course, as it's published out there, is to advise the Department of Commerce and NIST as they endeavor to set up an STC.
Right. So supply chain issues continue to affect the semiconductor industry. How is the Semiconductor Alliance working to improve supply ahead of the establishment of the NTSC?
Mm-hmm. We have a number of supplier companies working in the Semiconductor Alliance. And, you know, understanding first and foremost, what kind of resilience do we need to build into the system? What kind of involvement and participation do we need from either material suppliers or equipment suppliers or even software EDA suppliers and others? It's critical. That's where the problem starts. And when you talk about resilience, it is also important to understand, where do the pinch points exist? And these are all the points of discussion and debate that we have been undertaking in the Semiconductor Alliance with all the thought leaders who come from this part of the industry. So figuring out where exactly are the pinch points and what should we be doing as we move forward to provide input and a vision to the government to build that resiliency. And as I touched upon earlier, it is today the industry is so global and it is so so spread out that there are indeed certain tools and certain capabilities that come from some of our allied countries, and we do live on those capabilities being available to us. And likewise, I think our allied countries also live on availability of such capabilities. So identifying those and partnering with such companies and understanding what do they need to be successful and how can we in turn become successful. Mutual dependence is normal in this industry. And so those are the kind of discussions that we're having as we try to build more resilience in the supply chain ecosystem.
That's great. So we've heard some of these goals before. How is the Semiconductor Alliance different from the other entities claiming to focus on these same goals?
Right. I think, you know, in general, everybody out there is attempting to do the right thing, and they're all trying to achieve the same egalitarian purposes of our egalitarian vision of the CHIPS Act. There's no question. I think it's, as they say, all roads lead to Rome eventually. The method and the approach is perhaps different, and that's what is being debated to some extent. From the Semiconductor Alliance perspective, our vision, as I outlined before, is something that incorporates whole of the nation. It is something that needs to, that basically it is suggesting that we should be focusing on including all these clusters of innovation that we have in the semiconductor industry and the allied or the ancillary industries that go with semiconductors across the nation. And that is I think one of the key tenets that we're focusing on. The other component that we are trying to focus on is this concept of breakthrough challenges. You know, one way to look at it is, across the world today, in the semiconductor space, perhaps we spend about $1 billion or so in consortia research. Now, for the first time, what we're saying is we're going to add approximately another $1 billion to $2 billion on top of that. So the question we are asking is, what is it that we are going to do that is going to be transformative and differentiating when we double the size of R&D money that is going to be spent in that space? How can we do things that will leapfrog us as a nation and ensure that we have the supply chain resiliency that we need and we have the national security that we need from the defense side? And what are we going to be able to do when it comes to economic security? Because eventually these are all related. And this is something that requires, I think, us to work together. And that's why the whole of a nation concept that we've been proposing is something that is very important to us. Hopefully that's addressed your question.
Yeah, very good. Wow, great conversation. Thank you, Raj. I hope to speak with you again to get an update next year.
I'm looking forward to that, Dan.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.